Today is Good Friday. That's a very important day in the life of Christians. It's a combination of joy because of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, giving us life everlasting. It's also time for very somber reflection on what it cost our Lord to be able to do that for us. Passion Week is such an important time in the life of the church. We begin often on Sunday with a great celebration of Palm Sunday when Jesus enters Jerusalem and this great exaltation and praise for who he is and what he represents. And then by Thursday, we begin to see a great turn as our Lord celebrates the Lord's Supper with his disciples and then spends agonizing hours in Gethsemane praying that God would be with him and give him strength for what he was about to face. And then, of course, there is Good Friday. Not only is our Lord tried through the Passion, but he is crucified. It's hard to imagine what crucifixion would be like. I've read different accounts of it, one by a doctor who wrote what it would be like for someone to die that way. But even then, it's hard to embrace all of the emotion and all the pain that would have been wrapped around this moment. I know you realize, but on that day when Jesus is crucified, he's taking on power in every form. This is Jesus taking on military power, economic power. He's taking on religious power. He's taking on the power of government. And most of all, he's taking on the power of darkness. And certainly on that day, it appeared as though maybe he lost, but we know because of the resurrection that the cross accomplished so much for us. This is one of the reasons that down through the centuries, Christians have kept the symbol of the cross as a centerpiece of what Jesus Christ did for us. I once heard a writer comment that many churches today are beginning to eliminate the cross in their churches, and he said that he once heard someone say that they do that because it's offensive to visitors. But of course, it is to be offensive. That's the purpose of the cross, is to offend our senses that the Son of God would come and have to die such a brutal death in order to break the back of darkness on our behalf, for us. I was reflecting this morning as I was thinking about this day, Good Friday, on Isaiah 53. So many powerful passages here that talk about the suffering servant. Surely he would take our pain and bear our suffering. Considered punished by God, stricken and afflicted, he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And then this powerful phrase, by his wounds, we are healed. This is what Jesus did for us. And that's why it's a time for reflection and introspection regarding the nature of the cross. We should take time to think about what our Lord did on that day that has forever changed our lives. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." I have taught for some years that Jesus lived a perfect life and in the end assigns our name to it. But then at the cross, he takes on our life. There are so many dynamics that are taking place there on the cross. This affliction that he carries in order that we can be free. He pinned there, nailed there, unable to come down, unwilling to come down, so that we can then experience life and life everlasting. 53, Isaiah. Verse 7 reads, "He was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." Now, obviously, this was prophesied centuries before Jesus came and crossed the universe for our behalf, walked this world to show us what the kingdom of God was like and demonstrate the power of the kingdom through the ministries of the Holy Spirit. This was centuries earlier, and yet it was a prophecy of what would come, what Jesus would willingly do in order that we can be free. I was thinking today the fact that I'm able to have peace with God because of the cross. I'm able to be seated with Christ in heavenly places because of the cross. I'm able to know that all of my sins have been forgiven and will be forgiven because of the cross of Christ. This is something that, in fact, should take our breath away. There's an amazing passage that Paul has in Colossians chapter 2. It begins with verse 13 when he says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sin, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them at the cross." You know, this alone is reason for us to be quite reflective on this day because of what Jesus has done. He's made us alive through his death. He canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness because of our sinfulness that would have condemned us for all eternity. He took it away. And it's as if he took all of our sins and they were nailed right there on the cross with Jesus so that we could be free. I believe this is one of the reasons why disciples so humbly bow before Christ and we say to the Spirit, "Help us be devoted to our Savior who has done so much for us." Now, I want you to think about it for your own life right now, if you will. I'm sure you're like me. There are times when we don't live out of who we really are in Christ. We fail to live up to the nature of Jesus within us. We would call that sin. If we were still under the law, that sin would condemn us. But because of grace and what Christ did on the cross, we can turn to him, and he's faithful to forgive our sins, just as it says in the Epistle of John, all because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. I come from a Protestant tradition, but there are some things about the Roman Catholic tradition that are very, very important to me. I've learned that over the years. And one of them is understanding the essential nature of crossing oneself. Now, it's absolutely true that someone can do it as merely a religious symbol. But for centuries, it was a symbol that meant that I live under what has taken place at the cross. In the earliest writings of the church fathers, which happened in the second and third century, they encourage people to every day put the sign of the cross on their forehead, in order that all heaven and earth would see that they live under what Christ did at Calvary. That's the nature of crossing ourselves, how important that is. In some traditions, people just take three fingers representing the Trinity, and then they touch their forehead, and then they come down and touch their heart, and then they would move over to the left shoulder and the right shoulder, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, a symbol of the cross, a symbol that I trust in what Jesus Christ has done. I'm living my life under what Jesus Christ has done, that I have been completely transformed because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That is very important for us. There are other traditions that actually they bring their fingers together, all five of them touching one another. They cross themselves similarly, but now this represents the five wounds of Christ, the wounds that are placed upon his back and his head and his side and his hands and feet. It's a remembrance as they hold their fingers together of what Jesus Christ has done. We need those remembrances. A cross isn't to be simply a piece of jewelry. It isn't a symbol that we have tattooed on our body. It represents what Jesus Christ has done for us. This savage, brutal death in which he carried our brokenness and our sinfulness in order that we could be free. Now, the other dynamic that comes out of Colossians, it's also picked up with in the first epistle of John, is that the purpose of Christ going to the cross was to defeat the evil one. It says right here that he disarmed powers and authorities and he made a spectacle of them. He triumphed over them at the cross. They could not kill what Jesus came to do. He fulfilled the mission the Father gave him to, in love, come that we might be free. There might be some ways that you could begin to think about embracing the notion of the cross in your own life. A few years back, one of my colleagues, Paul Chilcote, a great man, was leading chapel, and he had us do something that I'd never done before. As the Passion of Jesus was being read, he asked us to stand in cruciform. Now, cruciform means that you would stand with your arms extended, your legs somewhat together, and he asked us if we would stand that way through the reading of the Passion. And I think that reading was like, I don't know, 13, 15 minutes long. It was not easy to do that. Such a simple act that became such a profound reminder of what Jesus did as he hung there on the cross. When I teach a course on spiritual direction, I talk about the fact that many people have learned to pray in cruciform. And often that happens by standing with your arms extended or lying prostrate on the ground with your arms extended, all in the shape of a cross. We do that to remind ourselves that we are people that live under the cross. Some years back, I developed a small group experience called the Healing Care Groups. It's for deep inner healing. A lot of people have been through that. I don't know exactly how many, but at least thousands. And one of the things I've always encouraged people to do is to find a wooden cross or some form of a cross. And as the group is meeting, put it on the floor in the midst of the group so that people could remember that we're here because of what Jesus did at the cross. There's also an exercise that I've done at times where I'll have someone come and in a time of prayer and reflection, we'll ask someone to actually nail the cross together. And it's amazing what happens to our hearts as we hear that hammer hit those nails to drive the nails into the wood. It reminds us of what happened to Jesus on that day, our Lord, our Savior, who willingly died that we might be absolutely free. In Luke chapter 23, there's a story of a man named Simon of Cyrene. It appears that Simon of Cyrene was a Jew who had traveled into Jerusalem to make a pilgrimage to celebrate the Passover there. And having come from Cyrene, it would have been a huge deal for his family that he was finally making this pilgrimage. Many people would hope that sometime in their life, if they lived out in the diaspora, that they could make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem in order to celebrate the Passover there. And that's what happened with this man, Simon of Cyrene. He probably saved up money in order that he could get his best clothes. He wanted to take in everything that was happening so when he went home, he could share with his neighbors and friends what it's like to go to Jerusalem and to celebrate the Passover there in that holy place. But the Bible tells us that as Jesus was carrying the cross down the Via Dolorosa, he must have stumbled under the weight. And all of a sudden, this man, Simon of Cyrene, came. And a Roman soldier would have placed his spear on his shoulder. Simon was probably just looking on, wondering what was happening. But the Roman soldier, he touched him. And that meant you must come and carry this cross for Jesus. I am sure that in some ways the blood of the Lord was already on that cross because of the brutal lashing that he had gone through. And now Simon of Cyrene must pick up this heavy wooden cross and begin to carry it toward Calvary, his clothes being stained, possibly torn. Origen, who was a church father, who wrote centuries ago, said that on that day, Simon of Cyrene carried the cross for all of us, and that he was also a symbol of how we are to be willing to carry the cross in our own lives, to help other people come and find Jesus. Robert Capon talks about the gospel of the kingdom, and he says it has two dimensions. One dimension is certainly glory, the resurrection, which we will talk about, and the wonder of what Jesus does by rising from the dead. But the other side of the gospel is the gospel of the cross. And you remember that when Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples, he spoke how broken bread and these crushed grapes became a symbol of his broken body and his spilled blood. And in some ways, he was telling us that this is to be part of our own lives. That the cross is not just the, if you will, the suppressing or killing of our selfishness, but it's also a contribution that we want to make to others in order that they can find the glory of Jesus Christ. It costs Jesus everything, and so sharing the gospel at times, it's meant to cost us something. Cost us time, cost us opportunities for ministry, cost us money to help other people find the Lord and to meet some of their deepest needs in their lives. That's the nature of the cross. We're cross people. And Paul certainly makes that clear in his own writings. And so here we have Simon of Cyrene who picks up the cross and carries it for Jesus. But in carrying it for Jesus, he was carrying it for us. And now that Jesus went to the cross on our behalf, there will be some expressions in which we also will be called to sacrifice, to bear a cross, in order that we might not only grow to be more like Jesus, live out of who we are in Christ, but also to help other people do the same. This is important for us to be talking about today, because the cross of Christ makes all the difference of the world, and like so many things, it's easy for us to begin to lose the power of a symbol that has been with us for so many years. Now, when you go to church in 2 days, it'll be the great celebration of the resurrection, and that is a tremendous day, a day that we know seals that what Christ did for us has now been received by God. But don't forget to look at the cross, to remember that what Jesus did not come cheap and easily. This forgiveness that you and I have today, this confidence that we have that we belong to God, that somehow supernaturally we are not only in God's family and his children, but we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. This has all come because of the death of Jesus and then confirmed through the resurrection of Christ. I think this is something very important for us to be embracing today, and I hope you will spend some time thinking about this. Maybe even, if not publicly, privately, for a period of time, embrace the practice of crossing yourself as a bodily reminder that you live and breathe under the ministry of Christ at the cross. I think you might find it a big step in calling you back to something so fundamental that Jesus did. He set his face toward Jerusalem. He knew what would happen in Jerusalem. He did not run away from Jerusalem, but he went there. He could have called 1,000 angels, 10,000 angels, but instead, he submitted to this powerful moment in order that generations of people can be reconciled with God and be free. This is important. You're a person of the cross. I live under the ministry of the cross. Think about that this day, this Good Friday. Soon comes the resurrection. But right now, let us remember what Jesus did on Calvary.